I appreciate the prayer, and I would ask you to please continue to pray. You know, that's one thing that we can do, and just pray and never cease. You know, Paul would say, pray without ceasing. So let's try to practice that on a daily basis. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I want to begin in verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath let me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary had chosen that good part. We read that she was sitting at Jesus' feet and heard his word, listening, attentively listening to him. Now, I want to make this very clear. The Lord is not scolding Martha. He wasn't speaking harshly to her. He wasn't saying like he does to the scribes and Pharisees, you know, hypocrites or anything of that. He just simply said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. How often in our lives are we careful and troubled about many things? How often in our life are we doing as Martha does and spending too much time trying to do everything we can with good intentions? Now, get this. Martha was ministering to the ones that were there. She was serving around. You know, the Lord was there with his disciples. You know, she was trying to be a good hostess, serving and helping and seeing to needs of others in her house. But what was the point? The point is, the Lord was there. He was there. And Mary was sitting at his feet and listening. How often at times are we just too busy? We allow things to get in our way. We allow things to cloud our judgment and have priorities over sitting and listening to God's word. How often can we allow things to get in the way? Now, like I said, he wasn't scolding her. He didn't get on to her. He was teaching a lesson. Don't you love how the Lord teaches us that gentle nudging sometimes of thy rod and thy staff? You know, he could have just said, Martha, what are you doing? I'm only here for a short time. Why aren't you here? You know, that's probably how I would have acted. You know, that's when somebody's not doing what they should be doing, I get frustrated and they're not doing their job, you know. But the Lord is kind. Think about the long suffering that he has. And he just simply taught a lesson. Now, I don't think this was a lesson that Martha forgot. Maybe she did. Well, we're human. How often do we forget things? But he just simply said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. There's no telling what this dear sister was doing, you know. There's probably a lot of people in that house. She was probably trying to give everybody some food or, you know, making sure they had a place to sit down. Oh, my goodness, the drapes aren't, you know, dusted. And whatever she's got to do to clean up the house. And, you know, those things are needful. It's good to have a clean home. It's good to see to the needs of others and be a good hostess or a good host. You know, being, the word just left me. Anyway, welcoming people into your home and, you know, just seeing to the needs of them. Those are good things. Those are good things. But the point here is the Lord was there. He was there and he was speaking. He was talking. He was teaching. Brothers and sisters, there's time and place for everything. There's a time to do things. There's a time to be encumbered about with things. There's a time to do our jobs. There's times to be laboring. But brothers and sisters, there are times to be still. Sit and listen. And listen to God's word. You know, he's not here in bodily form. He's not sitting there, and we're not sitting around him. But brothers and sisters, we are blessed with his word. When we're taking this word, and we're reading his holy word, brothers and sisters, it's almost as if he's speaking to us. So each and every time we try to set some time aside to read his word, that's like taking time and sitting at his feet and listening. That's the biggest thing in our life. You know, we have so many things that are supposed to be saving us time and supposed to be, you know, speeding things up. But there again, we still don't have any time. We're still running around. We just have too much on our schedule. Now, let's be honest. How much of that is life getting in the way? And how much of it is self-inflicted? It's a sobering thought. We need to take some time and do and take and partake of that good part. Amen. And sit and listen. Especially in the household of faith. Especially when we're here in his house. Meeting together, brothers and sisters, this is a time. You know, we all have the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. We all have the same amount of time. But how we spend our time, can we use it wisely? Or do we waste it? You know, our lives, whether we live to 100 or whether we live to be Methuselah's age, 969 years old, it's just a vapor. Compared to eternity, it's nothing. Amen. So why don't we take the time that we have, redeem the time, and use it wisely. Spending time at his feet. Spending time listening. You know, when we're reading, the best thing to do is when we're reading God's word and when we're finished reading that portion that we have read, just stop and listen. Meditate upon it. Think upon it. Chew on it a little bit. Let it sink in. And having a heart that's prepared to receive it. So let's all think about this. This is the time right now. If we have it, it's now. Stay. Let's be quiet. Let's quiet our minds. Well, our lives may be going crazy. But brothers and sisters, we can push it aside for a little while and sit under the sound of his gospel. You know that song, "Take Time to Be Holy"? Take time. I've heard Daddy say so many times, I wish it said, "Take time to behold him." Brethren, let's take time now to behold him and sit at his feet as if he were here. Because he is here. He's with us. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere he wants to be. So let us pray that the Lord will come and visit us for a little while, that we may be able to sit at his feet and partake into that good part. You know, he said to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the thing about taking of this good part and being quiet and being calm. You know, the Lord knows we have things to do. The Lord knows we have jobs, responsibilities, family life, things we have to take care of. But if we are making a priority to put him first, put that first, that good part first, brothers and sisters, all the things which should be added to us, our lives would go easier, spiritually and peacefully. Now, we could be going through a very difficult time. Our life could be very hectic. We can't change things around us. But, brethren, we can have more peace in our heart by seeking the Lord first and partaking in that good part. So remember, Mary was sitting at his feet and heard his word. So again, now Let's take time to listen and receive His word. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Well, Kenneth's right. We don't have the Lord in bodily form, but I hope you brought Him with you. We have His Spirit to lead us and guide us, teach us. I pray that we'll be blessed together. I appreciate what's gone before us. Our text this morning will be found in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. So while you're turning to that, got some questions for you. When you get up each morning, what do you put on? You don't have to answer. Just think about it. What do you put on? Coffee. A lot of folks would say coffee. You know, that'd be at top of the list, wouldn't it? What else? You know, if you're going to be going out, sisters probably want to put on a little makeup, maybe, depending on what kind of work you do. Clothing, lots of things that we'll put on, right? And there's some things that we don't want to leave home without. You know, nowadays, if you left that cell phone home when you left the house, you're going to turn around and go back and get it. I don't know how that became so important, but it has. There's a lot of reasons, you know, that for that, but just think about it. What is it you won't leave home without? Now, hope you found Romans 13 by now. Because there's one thing I haven't mentioned that I hope you won't leave home without. Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, this is a practical admonition. So we understand doctrinally that we can't initially be the one to put on Christ. If He hasn't drawn us to Him, if He's not living within us, we would have no desire nor any ability to put Him on. So we see that this is a practical thing. This is for the child of God. This is a daily thing that we are, what did He say? He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, I hope you can glean from this that there's a powerful impact that can be derived from heeding and obeying this scripture. It'll make a tremendous difference. Without it, without putting Him on in the forefront of your mind, bringing Him to remembrance, thinking about what He's done for you, praying to Him for strength and grace for the day, praying for the leadership of the Spirit, praying for the filling of the Spirit. If we don't put Him on, what's going to happen during our day? You're probably going to be blindsided by many things. You may be frustrated by many things. Your mind is not armed against the flesh. You're probably within the reach of Satan's chain, that he can trouble you more than he has to. Make not provision for the flesh. By not putting Him on, you are allowing provision for the flesh. I think Brother Kenneth said something about some things are self-inflicted. The one who inspired Paul to write this is the one who inspired this whole book. There may be 40 different penmen for the books of this Bible, but there's one author. And so as we think about whether it's Paul, whether it's Peter, whether it's James, whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Malachi, whether it's whoever, Moses, David, Jeremiah, it doesn't matter. It is the word of God. And what did Paul say to Timothy about all scripture? It is given by inspiration, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Don't we want to be equipped for our job that we do every day? Well, we should have a higher desire to be equipped to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you spend years in preparation from some earthly job, what is it that we spend a few minutes every day preparing ourselves and getting our mind in the right mindset to approach our day so that we're not making provision for the flesh? It's reasonable to me. And our service is reasonable service. And by the way, I really want to emphasize this, but I hope it comes across in a loving way. Just like Brother Kenneth pointed out about the Lord not scolding Mary, but gently teaching. And as a servant of the Lord, we're supposed to not strive, but be gentle. Paul said we're to speak the truth in love. But I want to emphasize it. I want to drive it home. I hope that the Lord would bless it, that it might sink down in our ears and find a lodging place in our heart and give us something that we can carry with us out of these doors so that it'll do us some good for the week ahead. You know, I like how some people have, we enter to worship and we depart to serve. Well, a lot of people get the worship part right, but they forget to serve when they leave. Isn't service important? How do you serve the Lord?
Serving
others. That's right, serving one another, serving others. Oh, that's how you do it. Well, yes, the Lord said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. And I'm going to tell you something, if that's going to be effective, oftentimes it needs to be somebody that can't repay you, that you don't expect that they're going to repay you. If you're expecting to be repaid for your service that you so lovingly provided, you got your reward. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. If we serve one another, we're serving Christ every time. That's the way we serve Him. So these principles that we have in Scripture, as we arm ourselves each day, Peter talks about, what is it, 2 Peter? He talks about First Peter 3. He talks about arming ourselves with this mind. The mind has to be in the right place. The heart needs to be in the right place. And scripturally, the heart and mind go together, don't they? When your heart is right with God, your mind is right with God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Paul said to the Philippians. So Paul says to the Romans, but put ye on, I'll come back to some of this in just a moment, but put ye on That's something you have to do. He's put you into Christ, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, redeemed by his precious blood, kept by his power. We're preserved in Christ Jesus, but we need to act like it in this life. Put ye on, put it on so others can see. You know, the clothing that you select, wherever you're going, or whatever you use to adorn yourself, oftentimes you want to make sure that your appearance is nice, acceptable for the occasion, whatever the case might be. Well, do we ever give any thought to how we adorn ourselves before the Lord? He doesn't care about makeup. He doesn't care about clothing. He looks on the heart. Is the heart adorned to please him? Is the mind the right mindset so that we'd have a servant heart as we leave to start our day? Don't leave home without him. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Okay? How do we do that? I've already given you some. But Paul treats this just like he did for the Roman brethren. We find this lesson over in the Ephesian letter. We also find it in the Colossian letter. You'll find similar language in the 1 Thessalonian letter. There's just several places. So why would that be? That he would teach the same lesson, and especially with Ephesians and Colossians using very much the same language, why would the Lord bother to repeat himself with that lesson to multiple people? If he were here speaking to us today, he'd use the same language. We need it. The same lesson is needed, and it has been needed for the last 2,000 years. It was needed long before that. It'll be needed as long as this world stands. It's so needful for us to pay attention to what we're thinking about and how we prepare ourselves to start our day. All right? So, I want to go, I left out Galatians. Galatians 3:27, Paul says this, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, there's a whole lot more here than just water baptism. Obviously, is the calling. Obviously, there's the conviction of sin. Obviously, there's the desire to respond to the love of God and confess our sins. And you know, we want to be baptized. We want to take his name upon us so that we can honor him while we live here in this world. But again, he's given us the idea of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? In this putting on is the idea of, first of all, recognizing our need of him. You know, every day when we get up, if we rush about our day and rush about our business and not think about the Lord, we, in a sense, we leave it behind. We need to arm ourselves. Part of that is submitting to his will. You know, there's things we want to accomplish in our day. And oftentimes our jobs dictate what we're going to be doing that day. And that's great. The Lord knows that. But at the same time, how we enter into that and how we deal with others as we're doing that and what we portray in our demeanor and the way we accept things as we go through our day and all those kind of things, all of that is influenced by how we remember that we need to submit ourselves to God's will. Remember when Jesus was about to go to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane? From his human standpoint, he didn't want to go to that cross. He knew what he was about to face. But what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Do you know if we can approach life with that type of an attitude? We just opened the door for the Lord to lead us. Now listen, the Lord can do anything he wants to do. But we hinder him. Now, we've talked about that recently. We can hinder him. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can feed the flesh. We can ignore the leadership of the Spirit. He puts the leadership. He doesn't drag us by our hair to do his will. He lovingly puts it upon our heart. And we either we will or we won't. And the Bible is full of admonition to seek his will, to seek his face and his loving kindness. How else are you going to know his will? He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, but he doesn't make us. If you ignore it, your heart's going to get hardened, your hearing is going to get dull, and you're probably not going to be following as closely as you should. So put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things that we've talked about. Now, when Paul wrote that to the brethren at Galatia, there was a problem at the church at Galatia. They were still trying to hold on to the law. Right? What should they have been doing? That law had been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. What they should have been doing is, now he fulfilled it. He didn't come to destroy it. He didn't come to do anything contrary to it. As a matter of fact, he kept it to a jot and a tittle, didn't he? But he fulfilled it. And so rather than trying to hold on to the old law service, what they should have been doing was seeking Christ and how they could put him on in their life and adorn the Lord Jesus Christ so that others could see Christ in them. That's what they should have been doing. Yet they wanted to hold on to something else. Man has this tendency to want to do something for his own salvation. Bless your hearts, we need to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Ephesians. I mentioned earlier that the same message is the same language almost is found both in the Ephesian letter in chapter 3 Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 4. So you might want to keep your finger in those two chapters because we may bounce back and forth because he's going to talk about putting off the old man and then putting on the new. And I'm going to look at both of the putting off and both of the putting on. All right, so they're close together, so hopefully that won't be too much of a challenge there to Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4. But notice, now I mentioned the lesson being given to the, I read you a verse out of Romans. I've already mentioned Galatians, where he mentions this. He mentions it in Colossians. He mentions it in Ephesians. I told you that there was a problem at Galatians where they were trying to hold on to the law. They should have held on to him more tightly, seeking him and the leadership of his spirit and putting on Christ. The church at Ephesus, they had a problem eventually. We're not told about it until later on. Remember in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord, that Ephesians was one of the seven churches of Asia. And the Lord said there were a lot of good things. He commended them for a lot of good things. But he says, I have somewhat against thee. Remember that? Now, he had sent his word through Paul. Paul had preached mightily to the brethren at Ephesus. Titus had preached there. Apollos had preached there. John had preached there. They had received a lot of good preaching. But the last mention that we have of the church at Ephesus is they had left their first love. Oh, man. That means something else was their first love. How could that happen if we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? How could that happen? You know, they'd had powerful preaching from powerful servants. And yet, they had left their first love. Whew. You know, that ought to cause us to stop and think. It's not just the preaching. A lot has to do with our response to the Lord. Our daily habits. Are our daily habits keeping us close to the Lord? Or are we leaving Him behind? You'll have to answer that. I can't. But I will tell you this, it's a whole lot better to keep Him close. As I've said before, it's a whole lot better just to invite Him to come and go with you. As you go through your day. We need His help all along life's pathway. All right? So, Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, before I get to that, chapter 4, Ephesians, but I mentioned the problem with Ephesus. Okay, there was a problem at Colossians. Are you seeing a pattern here? All of God's churches have their challenges. Don't be surprised when there's a challenge in a church. It's how we deal with it that makes all the difference. Because we're made up of humans. You know, Elder Laman Ferris used to say, if you ever find the perfect church, don't join it. Or it won't be perfect anymore. The church is made up of human beings. We're flawed. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your Son, who is perfect and who has perfectly redeemed us from our sins and will forever keep us that way in glory. But right now, we'll have challenges. Right now, this old flesh wants to pull us away from the Lord every opportunity it can get. Amen. Every day, all day long, the flesh is your closest foe. Yes. Isn't that what Brother Goad said in his hymn that he wrote that's in our book? This flesh is our closest foe. And it's not getting any better. It can rear its ugly head quickly. If we're not armed, if we're not prepared, if we haven't put on the Lord Jesus Christ and made not provision for the flesh, you better watch out. You know, it's good for ourselves, and it's good for the folks around us. They'll fare better too if you're armed by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Colossians had its problem. There was, I'll let you take some time. I don't have a lot of time to deal with it, but there was a something called Gnosticism, a teaching that had crept into the church at Colossae, and they emphasized knowledge. You know, knowledge was the supreme thing, and that the body was evil. Material things, they said, were evil. And even to the point, the error even went to the point where they thought that, well, since the body is evil, then you know, it doesn't matter what you do in the body, it's going to be that way anyway. So they just focused on knowledge. Well, listen, I mean, I know I didn't get very deep into Gnosticism and the definition of that, but listen, the gospel is given us to equip us, to help us use these bodies to the glory of God. And when we don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we don't make that preparation, then we're allowing this flesh to have more influence upon our choices and our life and the decisions that we make all through our day. And so, what should they have done? Knowledge is good, but knowledge can puff up. Paul told the Corinthians that. I think it's 1 Corinthians 8. Knowledge puffeth up. But bless your hearts, if we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the right way, it will humble us. It's not going to puff us up. It's not going to lift us up above our brethren. It's going to humble us. Because you've got more of the presence of the Lord and the influence of His Holy Spirit in us, and that shows us what we are, and it humbles us before our holy and righteous God, and it shows us what we need, and what we need more than anything else is more of Him. More of Him. Well, if I said to you so many times about Elder Eddie Whitby used to say, you can have as much of him as you want. How much do you want? Our life shows how much we want. Does it reflect his glory? Is it humble? Is it loving? Is it serving? What is our life reflecting? Now, that's something you don't have to say. It shows. Other people can see it. Are we, as we go through our day, does our life just say to others, we are a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or does it say, we're getting all we can, putting it in the can, you know, getting ready to retire and enjoy life. Is that what it says? You answer that every day. So, the message or the remedy, so when the Colossians were seeking after knowledge, but it was not in the right way, what they needed was like Paul expressed to the Philippians when he said that I may know him. Now you know the Apostle Paul knew the Lord. You know the Apostle Paul knew the scriptures. You know the Apostle Paul knew so much. But he still wanted to know him better. Know him better. That's what Colossae needed. They needed to know him better. All right, Ephesians, the Ephesians, they needed to return to their first love. Right? Their mind and their heart needed to be refreshed and returned to the first love. I don't know how long, well, we have the dates as far as when the church was established, and we have the dates as to when these messages were given to in the book of Revelation, so we've got a measure there of how long before the Lord confronted the church that they had left their first love. But all of this is lessons for us today, right? So that we wouldn't do the same thing. Because we are prone to do the same things. And so that's why this lesson is repeated to us in so many places. It's vital to our putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying the fullness of what we have available to us right now in the kingdom of God. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Nothing's going to change that. There are joys and blessings to be had in the kingdom of God. But if you don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't exercise yourself in godliness, you won't enjoy that. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Don't we want a more abundant life in the Lord? Yes, absolutely. Now, so I went through those different churches before we got to the text. And I don't have much time left here, but the point is, regardless of the error, whether folks are puffed up with their knowledge or whether they've left their first love or whether they're holding on to legalism, whatever the problem, the solution is the same. I'm not a psychologist. You know, I don't know reasons why folks do what they do. But I know the remedy of everyday life and the things that oftentimes plague us, the remedy is to get closer to the Lord. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. That solves a whole lot of problems. The Lord in his wisdom gave us this message time and time and time again. Maybe somewhere along the way we'll get it. Maybe. But bless your hearts, the provision is to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Ephesians 4, very quickly. Paul speaks in Ephesians 4, warning the church not to walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. He says in verse 20 then, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Here is a way of putting off worldliness and the flesh, not making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's a putting off. Now, you might say, well, I wish the Lord would do that for me. Well, you know, under the old law, there was a commandment and there was a penalty. And if you violated the commandment, you could bring an offering. And if you did it the right way, your conscience could be eased. In the New Testament, the Lord gives us a new commandment. Remember what that is? A new commandment I give unto you. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, he says, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Well, I want the world to know that I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want them to have to guess if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want them to have to wonder, do I really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's a way. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to, not for, one to another. That is love in action. There's some learning, there's some understanding, there's some application. And when that's all accomplished, there's some glory to God. How much glory to God is coming forth from our life. How much has the Lord been glorified by our walk, our choices, our words, our affections, our resources? How much has the Lord been glorified by us this week? Is the light from Piney Grove shining brightly when we come together? You know, I used to commute to work, and about that time was a time that I could listen to Adrian Rogers on the radio. Some of you may have heard him. He's a Southern Baptist, president of the Baptist Southern Baptist Convention several times. But he said one time, he said, you know, some of you folks are planting your, or sowing your wild oats during the week, and then you come to church praying for a crop failure. Well, that's kind of funny, but it happens. It happens. What are people seeing from us through the week? And then we come to church on Sunday. Let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Not just on Sunday. Every day. Let's walk with the Lord every day. All right? So he says, to put off, verse 22 said, that you put off concerning the former conversation. That's not just words. That word conversation has the idea of conduct, which includes choices and affections and decisions and all those kinds of things. He said, put off the former conversation. He's talking about before we came to a knowledge of the truth, before we were blessed to know the Lord and what he's done for us, and to know, before we were blessed to know what we are by nature and our need of him. And now how wonderful it is that he's blessed us to know him and to know what he's done for us, and our security is in him, and he's forgiven us all of our sins. He's justified us before God. Oh, all of those things for which we praise and adore his matchless name. And we should be doing it every day. And when we're mindful of it, we do a better job of it, right? And when we leave it off, we don't do much of it. As a matter of fact, there's a correlation between thankfulness and praise. If we're not very thankful, we're not very motivated to praise. So I would encourage you to thank the Lord on a regular basis. I would encourage you to be a thankful, grateful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be given to more praise for doing that. All right? Keep your finger there. Go to Colossians chapter 3 very quickly here. Time's gotten away somehow. Paul's speaking about if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And he talks about mortifying, therefore, your members. And he speaks of all the sins of uncleanness and fornication and all those kinds of things. He says, for which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which also ye walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, he says, now, it's different. If the Lord has blessed you to know him, if he's blessed you to know what he's done for you, if you've been blessed to know our hope in Christ forever, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and then put on something. And it has to be in that order. You can't put on Christ without putting off the flesh. Now, I'm not saying you can eradicate the influence of the flesh. You're not going to be able to do that. But you can sure hold it back. You can live above reproach. You can seek his face and his loving kindness and enjoy his word and be strengthened with all might in the inner man. And that's the diet that we need spiritually on a regular basis. Do you eat just one time a week? I don't. We need to feed spiritually every day. And I'm not saying you got to spend 3 hours. But what I am saying is we need that regular reminder. We need our mind and our heart stirred in the things of God so that we've got something to chew on when we leave. And then think about it, like we've already been told this morning. Think about it on a regular basis. Meditation is to the soul like digestion is to the body. Meditation to the soul. I'll say that again. Meditation is to the soul what digestion is to the body. You know, some folks say you are what you eat. Well, what you've been feeding on? Naturally. What you've been feeding on? Spiritually. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We've got to put some things off before we can put some things on. So back to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry, Ephesians 4. We've talked about putting off. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Once we've put it off, and by the way, part of that, somewhere along the way, may involve some confession and some repentance. You know, that's something that when we come to a knowledge of the truth and we recognize our need of a Savior, and we hear the good news of the gospel, we want to, you know, the gospel calls upon us to repent, which means to put off some things and make a change and stay changed. You know, stay that way. Now we still have to deal with the flesh. But this idea of repentance and confession is something that we have with us all through our lives. There's things, thoughts that we have, or words that we say, or experiences that we do, we have to repent of. We have to confess that to the Lord, repent of that, and try to get up and do right, do better. We need that on a regular basis to stay close to the Lord. If we don't confess our sins, we get distance between us and the Lord. Our zeal declines. Our heart cools toward the things of God. We need confession and repentance. This is the very message that John the Baptist preached, the very message that Jesus preached. John tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. We need that on a daily basis, don't we? We need that spiritual bath just like we need a natural bath from time to time. All right. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's remembering him. That's confessing our sins. That's asking for his help. That's reading his word. That's remembering him, putting him on. Okay. And that you put on the new man, which after God, I'm in Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, without seeking the righteousness of God, without seeking to be close to him and holiness in our walk and our thoughts and our mind and our heart. Without that, the new man's not renewed. We need that. regularly. It's renewed in righteousness and true holiness. And then he goes into a lot of practical admonitions. Colossians 3. In verse 8, when he said, "But now ye also put off all these, and the old man with his deeds," in verse 9. Then verse 10, he says, "and have put on the new man." There's a sense in which we take up our cross and follow him. And that's one sense of putting him on. But in our mind, to be renewed, we need to keep doing that every day, renewing that commitment. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge." Now, in Ephesians, it said righteousness and true holiness. Here he says, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of righteousness, a holy walk is really the same thing, just expressed in different words. So he says, "Wherefore then there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." In other words, he's in all manner of people. Okay? "Put on therefore," and I'm going to probably close out with this. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved." We are, aren't we? In Christ, we are holy and beloved. Well, let's act like it then. Let's live like it. Let's choose like it. Let's let our affections be set on things like that. "Put on, therefore, as elect God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Whew, that's a mouthful. You understand the tenor of what we're talking about here? Righteousness and true holiness. The example that Jesus gave us. Follow him. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we act like him, it's because we've put him on. When we speak like him, when we react like him, when we walk like him, we've put him on. That's what a disciple of Jesus needs every day. If we don't do it every day, we let things slip. Okay? "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." There's the great reason why we would do any of these things. Even as Christ forgave you. How much has he forgiven you? How much does he need to forgive you of today? How much will he forgive you of tomorrow? In Christ Jesus, all our sins, past, present, and future, have been put away by the blood of his sacrifice of himself to the Father. "And above all these things," he's not finished yet. "And above all these things, put on charity." Well, wait a minute. Charity. What is that? I heard love in action. Yes. Gee, isn't that what Jesus said? "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when you put love in action." Well, he's used different words, but he said the same thing. When you have love one to another, you're showing love. You're putting it in action. "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." In other words, here's the goal. This is what we're striving for. That we can be loving like Jesus. That others can see Jesus on us and in us and coming forth from us because we've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're manifesting what's in our heart and what's on our mind and what's important to us. And others can see what we're seeking is the kingdom of God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you're not seeking Him, if you're more concerned with this world, you will not have the peace of God in your heart. It'll be conflict. You'll be grieving the Holy Spirit by doing other things, by setting your affection on someone else like the Ephesians, or getting lifted up in our knowledge and not applying godliness to humble us. It's only when we're walking in accord with the Spirit and with the Word of God that we enjoy the peace of God. It's available to all of God's children. And it varies depending on how much we put on Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, I said, well, I thought I was going to finish that. I'm back to our original text, Romans 13. I'm going to back up just a few verses. Romans 13. The interest of time, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Galatian brethren, listen to that. He that hath loved one another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not... You recognize that, don't you? The commandments. He said, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When we love God and when we love one another, we're fulfilling the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time. I think I've heard that lately. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Folks that's not putting on Christ, folks that's not seeking the Lord each day, as far as spiritually speaking, it's kind of like they've just gone asleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Equip yourselves each day. Seek the Lord each day. Thank the Lord each day. Praise the Lord each day. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.